All right, this will be our last teaching of the night. Oh, stop. You guys like not being able to see in the dark? I can't see up here. All right, turn to page 18, breakout number 2. So we've talked about in the last breakout session, we talked about preparing to receive instruction, right? Before those moments, those important moments when instruction comes, how do I prepare my heart? What do I need to be doing in life that's going to put me in a position to best receive instruction when it comes? The person who's doing those things that we discussed, those 10 principles, and applying those regularly is in a good position to then respond in a God-honoring way when correction comes. But there's more. Your job is not done. Your heart shepherding is not done once you've prepared yourself to receive instruction. Then there's the all-important moment of actually receiving instruction well, okay? That's what this session is about, practicing receiving correction. And what you have here in your book, when receiving correction, we should listen in the following 13 ways. So 13 different ways that you need to think about listening, okay? And you've got one blank. For each of those 13 things, they're all going to just describe, how should I be listening? What should be my disposition, my attitude? What should I be believing, right, when I'm being instructed, when correction comes? And we'll talk through each of those, and then we'll come back and we'll look at one final principle and kind of close our time with that. All right, who got through the entire breakout? Sorry, who did not get through the entire breakout? Okay, that's a shorter list. Okay, did you guys get 10? Did you get 7? Okay, wait, what number did you guys stop at? I'll give you the rest of the answers here. What number did y'all get through? Y'all stopped at? Oh, okay, great. All right, y'all got through 9. So number 10, listen discreetly. Discreetly, that's discreetly. That is number 10. Listen discreetly. That means you don't go gossip. Do you know what this person told me? Right? Nope, be discreet. Number 11, listen accurately. Listen accurately. That means actually hear what they're saying and don't go run off of, you know, the cliff in your mind way to the extreme. They think I'm such a terrible person. And right. No. Listen accurately. What did they actually say? Don't caricaturize or demonize that person in your mind. All right. That happens. You have a story? Lainey has a story to share later. Number 12. Oh. Oh, geez. Okay. Number 12. Listen discerningly. Discerningly. D-I-S-C. E-R-N-I-N-G-L-Y, discerningly. And that means you're going to take the correction or the instruction that came to you, and you're actually going to search God's word about that thing, right? If somebody says you talk too much, then you're going to go to Proverbs 18 and James chapter 3 and say, let me look at what the Bible says about speech and discern, wow, what's right about what they said in my life, and what do I need to change? That is wise. That's discerning. And then number 13, honestly. We can listen honestly. And what those two passages there have to do with is, does correction feel good? Does discipline feel good? Does discipline feel good?
No.
I got no answers from it. Okay, no. If it feels good, if it doesn't sting, they didn't do it right, okay, is what Hebrews 12 says. All discipline seems painful. That's what the Bible says. All discipline seems painful. And so it's okay to be honest about that. This is hard to hear in the moment. That hurts, right? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. They're faithful, and they're your friend, but it's still a wound, okay? You can be honest about that even in the moment and then still respond well. All right. Next, there was a question about number 8, to listen thankfully, and how Proverbs 11:17 applied. It did. I have to admit, it took me a second. I'm like, why did I put that there? Proverbs 11:17 says, a man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. That's simple. A man who's kind benefits himself, okay? What that has to do with listening thankfully, even though it's not the clearest verse, if you can actually, in kindness, thank the person for bringing correction into your life. Would it be kind of you? Would you be kind to tell the person, thank you, mom, thank you, dad, or friend, or whomever, for loving me enough to bring correction into my life? Would that be a kind gesture? Yeah. Say yes. All right. Yep. That would be a kind gesture, okay, to thank the person. So that's how that applies. Is that satisfactory? No. No is his answer. Does that make sense? Is that helpful? No? Sort of? Okay. All right. That's what I got. That's all I got. I want to, just with the last few minutes that we have, to sort of put a bow on receiving correction, right, for our two breakouts. I want to motivate you guys, help motivate you to go after this, to if you've never thought about it before this weekend, I want you to be zealous, not just like, oh, that's cool. That's, you know, we learned some good principles and, oh, there's one that I can apply and, yeah, that was helpful. Maybe I'll actually do that when I get back home. No, I want you to take this and with all your energy say, my life has to be about this. This is not negotiable. I have to go after this. And I want to help you do that, okay? Go to Proverbs 2. The way I'm going to attempt to motivate you in this moment is by putting a promise of God in front of you and really help you see what's at stake in what we're discussing. What is at stake in being someone who responds well to correction, who even loves discipline and is eager to invite correction into my life? Like, what's at stake? That's what we're going to see. Look at verse 1 in chapter 2 of Proverbs. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it, what is it, if you seek it? Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, insight, yes. If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, if I told you guys there's that patch of ice right outside the door here, there is a suitcase under the ice with $100,000 in it. That door would be open already, okay? You would be outside clawing through the snow looking for valuable. Like, where is it? It's yours if you can find it. This side would be at an advantage. You guys, don't worry about it. That's when he says, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, right? Do you think about that? Do you think about going after wisdom? Hey, you have a chance to go seek wisdom. Are you like tripping over the person next to you to, you know, that idea? I got to go get this. I got to have this. Okay. He's describing an all-out pursuit of getting wisdom. And what that requires, at least in part, according to verse 2, is training your ears to listen. Does that make sense? Fixing it in your heart, I'm going to listen when instruction comes. That's all a part of it. And just to be clear, verse 6, where's this wisdom coming from? For Yahweh gives wisdom from his what? From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. What he's describing is an all-out pursuit of wisdom, which includes listening to instruction, guys. Now, what's at stake? Let me just describe for you what's at stake. Because he says, he gives you reasons why you should do this, the rest of the chapter. That's the rest of the chapter. Verse 6 is the first reason. Why should I go after wisdom? Well, because God gives it. It comes from his mouth. He stores it up, verse 7. If you do that, verse 9, then you'll actually understand every good path is what he goes for. He gives another reason in verse 16. You'll be delivered from forbidden women, from the adulterers with their smooth words. Goes on to describe other ungodly people. So he gives multiple reasons all throughout this passage. But what I want to focus on is one that actually has a sort of an ultimate reality to it. Look at verse 20. This is profound. He says, Why should you, son, pursue wisdom in the ways that I'm describing? Why should you listen well when instruction comes? Verse 20, so you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the path of the righteous. That's what's at stake in listening to wisdom. That's what's at stake. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. Well, why is that important? Here's why that's so important. Verse 21, because the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Here's what Solomon, being the son of David, king of Israel, is getting at. Notice in verse 20, what will the upright inhabit? The what? What does it say? The land. What land? Not heaven. Good guess. Anybody know what he's getting at there? Not hell. The upright, the godly, the godly inhabit land. Not new heavens and a new earth. You guys, these are good guesses. The promised land. Absolutely. Listen at this. You know when Jesus rebukes, all throughout the New Testament, you have the Jews being rebuked for not recognizing, look, it's not about being a Jew genetically. That doesn't mean you inherit the promises. It's about a new birth, a changed heart, a new life, faith in God, righteousness. If you're not practically righteous, if you don't obey God, what makes you think you're the type of person that's going to inherit the promises? I'll make this quick attempt to. We got 5 minutes. God promised Abraham land, the land of Canaan. He told him, walk throughout it. Everywhere your foot steps, you'll inherit the land. I'll give it to you. You read Genesis, Abraham died a rich man, but he didn't own any land except for a field that was essentially a cemetery. When's Abraham getting the land? That's a future day, guys. Abraham doesn't own the land as it was promised. Is this still on? Check, check. Abraham doesn't own the promised land as it was promised. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I don't need to. That day is future, okay? When Abraham is resurrected with all of the rest of the believers from the Old Testament, when Jesus one day comes back to bring his kingdom, I hope you guys have been paying attention in Sunday services. We've been reading what minor prophet? Zechariah. Zechariah. You're like, we read Zechariah? Yes, we are reading Zechariah on Sunday mornings. And the city of Jerusalem is mentioned dozens of times in the book. And on last Sunday, a man called Branch will reign in the temple in Jerusalem as a priest and as a king. Who do you think that is? Jesus. Where is he ruling? The promised land. Not like geographically, the body of Jesus, the person, will be in Jerusalem on a throne. One day, he's going to establish the kingdom and he will rule thoroughly. He's going to show us how good government looks. Okay? Who do you think is going to actually get to be there in the new land when he comes to establish his kingdom? What does Solomon say? Who inhabits the land? Verse 21. The upright. That's why you should listen to correction. You get it? You get the connection? The upright inhabit the land. Only people who are practically righteous, who obey God now, will see God, the fulfillment of God's promises one day. Some will be resurrected and live there. Others will enter into the kingdom alive already. That's how things work out. But nobody who doesn't fear and obey God and doesn't submit themselves to God's wisdom will be there. Jesus will come back in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not obey God or know God and do not obey the gospel. That's what the scriptures say. If you want to inhabit the land, then Solomon says, now you must be someone who is making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Do you get the connection? That's what's at stake in listening to instruction. In welcoming correction. If you are, we're not delusional in thinking every kid here professes faith in Jesus, right? If you don't profess faith in Jesus, if you don't believe God, then this is a good time to give some thought to that and actually submit to God for the first time. Be a believer in Jesus, the one who died and endured the wrath of God, in the place of all those who believe, and rose again and is awaiting the kingdom from his Father. Believe in that one. And one day you can trust now that one day, if you do believe in him, you will be one who inherits the land, who inhabits the land one day. And those of us who do believe the gospel, who trust God, the call is actually to receive correction, right? Be characterized now as someone who is eager about being corrected, receiving instruction, submitting yourself to the wisdom of God coming from those around you. Because what's at stake is your personal holiness and ultimately proving, right, if I'm holy now, then I can trust I'm going to inherit the land. I'm going to inhabit the land one day and see God's kingdom. Okay? Does that make sense? That's what's at stake. Any questions? All right. I must have been clear. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll talk about what's next. God, thank you for your word and all of the precious promises that you have offered to us, sinful people who would simply believe you. You haven't asked us to jump through hoops and accomplish what we can't. You've required us to trust you. And God, by your grace, you know, we will do that. I pray for the students who may be determining, trying to discern whether or not they have submitted their lives to you, whether or not they have believed you, that you would help them to do that, to do just that, to believe the gospel, the good news that Christ died for sinners, and you offer the promise of the kingdom to those who would trust you and walk in your ways, and receiving correction is just a part of that. And you're so kind to give us people who love your word, who are eager to bring correction and instruction into our lives. So help us to submit ourselves to your wisdom, even when it comes through others, and bless the rest of our time this weekend, that we would be moved even more to submit ourselves to your wise counsel. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.